Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I'm talking with Tom Woods, author of Nullification, How to Resist Federal Tyranny in the 21st Century. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Doing well, Michelle. Thank you.
I just wanted to, why don't you just let my audience know what your book's about and how that affects us?
Well, a lot of people in the Tea Party movement, patriots, Campaign for Liberty people, all these people are asking an important question right now, which is, what do we do about a federal government that acts as if there's no constitution? And that if you actually ask them, where do they get the constitutional authority to do what they're doing, they laugh at you. You know, we peons aren't entitled to ask them that question. Well, I think some of us feel like we are entitled to ask it, and I think we feel like we've done everything we can do. You know, we vote for this guy instead of that one. We hold conferences. We hand out little pocket constitutions. Like, we've done all this. What else is there? And what I'm suggesting in this book, and I've got very nice endorsements on the back from some pretty prominent people, so this is becoming mainstream, is that it's time to look at the Thomas Jefferson toolkit, look at everything that's in there, and look at things that we have neglected, that Jefferson said we needed to use if we were going to keep the federal government limited. And that's where nullification comes in. That's what the book is called, and that's what it's about. And it basically boils down to this idea, that if you're going to limit the federal government, you cannot expect it to limit itself. That's just not going to happen. The limiting is going to have to be done by some entity other than the federal government itself. And for Jefferson, the logical candidate for that role is the states. So nullification simply refers to the power of the state to say to the federal government that a particular law that's been passed violates the Constitution, and that in this state, we actually respect the Constitution too much to let you get away with enforcing it, so we are not doing it in this state. It will not take place.
So how does that actually take place? I'm just a person up here in northern Maine. How do I get involved in forcing this?
Well, it can vary. The exact form it can take can vary. We've seen in history that there has been the suggestion that the state call a special convention that would parallel the special convention that was called to ratify the Constitution in the first place. Others have proposed a less formal mechanism. It would simply be a statement of the legislature or a governor, or it could be brought about by popular referendum. All these avenues are available. I think it would be up to the state to decide how it wants to proceed. But we're already seeing this type of activity take place around the country. I mean, we've got a ballot initiative in California that would decriminalize marijuana. That would be in just complete defiance of the federal government. There are firearms freedom acts that have been passed in about 8 or 9 states that, in effect, make it a crime to enforce unconstitutional federal gun regulations on the states. We've got health care nullification resolutions all over the place. We've got legislation being drafted in anticipation of nullifying any cap-and-trade legislation that would take place. So what I would recommend to people who want to know, well, gee, how can this is a bandwagon I want to jump on board, which indeed you should. It's true that a lot of the major radio and TV people are not on board with this yet. Most of them are just, frankly, cowards, in my opinion. But Judge Napolitano is on board with this, and he actually has the legal knowledge. I mean, his opinion is actually worth something. Barry Goldwater Jr. is on board with us. Walter Williams is on board with us. He's the sit-in host for Rush Limbaugh. So, you know, that's not nobody. I mean, these are significant figures. So what I recommend people do, first of all, is to visit two websites.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is called statenullification.com. That's just a page on my site that I set up that just gives people the basic background on what I just said and explains and justifies it. Got a few videos. Very, very easy to understand. Get up to speed on it quickly. You can distribute it to your friends easily and explain it to them. But secondly, to find out what's going on where and what states are pursuing what and what kind of success they're having. The second site to look at is called 10thAmendmentCenter.com. You want to spell out 10th, T-E-N-T-H, 10thAmendmentCenter.com, and you'll find that there are state chapters of the 10th Amendment Center all over the country. Find your local chapter or start a local chapter. You can have a county chapter or whatever. And you will find out that this is a way to coordinate our activities, make sure we're not duplicating effort, find out who are the sympathetic state legislators, who are sympathetic candidates who are running for state legislature. All these sorts of things are brought together, and I'm not one of the leaders of the 10th Amendment Center. I'm not connected to it, except I'm friendly with them, but they really are the best. I mean, I even refer you to them more than my own website, 10thamendmentcenter.com.
I can hear in my mind people yelling, right-wing fringe. Is jumping on board this going to make the Department of Homeland Security show up? Will I be on a hate list? Are people going to revile me?
Well, look, you know, you have a podcast that dissents from the establishment, so you're already on the list. So I wouldn't worry about that. Look, I figure you're on the list already. Make the most of it. But, yeah, of course they'll say that, and it's so absurd. I mean, if you look through history at how nullification was used, you know, I was on a radio show, conservative radio show the other day, and the host said, you know, I really am sympathetic to this. Sounds great, but my friends tell me this has a really checkered and evil history. And I said, oh yeah, really? What are they talking about? She said, well, you know, slavery and the Civil War. And I said, well, all right, but if anybody can name me one instance in which nullification was used to defend slavery, I'd really love to hear it. Absolute silence. Like, I mean, like, where is this coming from that people assume that the powers of the states or political decentralization automatically means evil?
Right, right.
I mean, this is clear. Yeah, obviously the states are sometimes run by sociopaths too. I mean, nobody denies that. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're dealing with governments, you're dealing with very dangerous monopolies. Nobody denies that. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that the dangers in the 20th century from political power came from centralized political power overwhelmingly. I mean, Hitler and Stalin did not believe in states' rights. Right. Hitler said so in Mein Kampf explicitly, that we absolutely cannot allow the idea of states' rights because I want to impose my doctrine on the whole country. Forget your crummy state boundaries. So we need to move away from this idea that decentralized power is wicked and right-wing. Decentralized power is Jeffersonian. That's what it is. And it simply tries to give us some defense mechanism against catastrophic decisions made by the central authority. And again, throughout American history, what's it been used for? Well, it was used to defend free speech. It was used to fight against unconstitutional searches and seizures. It was used to fight against the fugitive slave laws. I mean, these don't strike me as uniquely right-wing ideas and movements. These are American causes. These are American causes that transcend labels. And I could very easily see Vermont using nullification for, and California using it for different purposes than what Texas or Tennessee might use it for, but that's fine. The United States is supposed to be a collection of self-governing communities, and yeah, they're not all going to be the same. Right. That's the beauty of the system.
Right, exactly. Can you tell my listeners just really quickly, I have just two things I'd like them to hear about. One is Wisconsin and the Fugitive Slave Act. And then the other is, you brought it up a moment ago, the firearms freedom movement that's going on.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, Wisconsin was probably the most heroic state of all. There were numerous northern states that resisted the Fugitive Slave Act, particularly the one of 1850. And now a perceptive listener may say, now wait a minute here. I mean, we may deplore it, but after all, didn't the Constitution have a fugitive slave clause in it? I thought you said nullification was only for unconstitutional laws. Well, yes, but just because there is that unfortunate fugitive slave clause, that does not mean the federal government can therefore take any measure whatsoever to return fugitive slaves. And a number of the northern states thought it was obviously open to horrendous abuse to have a system whereby a slave owner could come into a northern state and say, hey, here's a physical description of the slave I'm looking for, and hey, that guy over there kind of looks like him. I think I'll just take him.
Right.
Like, no, the states were saying, no, we have the right and the responsibility to protect our citizens from potential kidnapping, so we want to give people a jury trial before they're taken out of this state. So there were states that did things like this, and in Wisconsin in particular, they expressly quoted from the Kentucky resolutions of 1798 and 1799, where Jefferson first outlined the idea of nullification. I mean, this is 60 years later. They're quoting and talking about nullification, that we are not obligated to enforce an unconstitutional law because an unconstitutional law is no law at all. And they went on and on about this. And this just went on for years throughout the 1850s, that Wisconsin stung the federal authorities by their consistent defiance. And so I give the whole story of this. I mean, it's just an unbelievable story of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court standing up to the U.S. Supreme Court and simply not letting it get away with the enforcement of a law that they believe to be unconstitutional. So that is a model for us today.
And that can still happen? That can still happen today.
Yeah, well, I don't see why not. I mean, my argument is that if there are enough people who are willing to say, no, we're not going to do it, mm-hmm. well, all the tanks in the world can't change that. And you know, whatever people think about the medical marijuana law in California, the significant thing is that the Supreme Court ruled against them, and the Ninth Circuit ruled against them, and the Justice Department was against them, and they said, well, gee, thanks for those decisions, and then they went on doing it anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, it goes to and interestingly, by the way, you would be hard-pressed to find three more conservative states than Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. And when that case went before the Supreme Court, whose side were they on? They were on California's side, even though they didn't agree with California's law. Their argument was that, yeah, California's got a stupid law, but they have a right to have a stupid law, and we're going to defend that because we don't want to have a federal government that thinks it can overturn just anything it happens not to like. So that goes to show, again, the that yeah, they may have the Supreme Court, and they may have politically well-connected lawyers sitting on the Supreme Court who came out of a completely corrupt law school system where they're not learning anything about the Constitution. They're learning about a bunch of cases, most of which were decided wrongly, and then they're going to sit on the court and tell us what the Constitution means. Yeah, they've got that, but we have the people and we have public opinion. What are they going to do if the people simply say, the courts are part of the problem? We're fighting against the whole federal government, not just the president, not just the Congress, the whole thing. You guys are part of the problem. That was Jefferson's view. The federal courts are part of the problem. They are going to rubber stamp what the rest of the federal government does, and there's no way a federal court could possibly be an impartial arbiter of a dispute between the federal government and the states. It's one of the parties to the dispute. You can't expect it to be impartial. Now, then you asked about the Firearms Freedom Act. I can give a briefer answer here. Mm-hmm. If you go to the 10th Amendment Center website, 10thamendmentcenter.com, and you look at their legislative tracking page, you'll be able to trace over all around the country where these initiatives are being introduced, where they've been passed by one or more houses of the legislature, and where they've actually been signed into law. And Wyoming is probably the most interesting example, because Wyoming is actually imposing civil penalties on federal officials who try to enforce unconstitutional gun regulations. They're supposed to be matters for the state to determine. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, that may be purely symbolic, but it would be on their record forever. I mean, so that's very interesting. They're actually giving this thing some teeth. It's not just a feel-good resolution.
And the federal government is not sending in tanks and troops to
they
take
are
back
not.
Their power?
Not so far. They haven't taken Wyoming or anyone else's highway money away. Just as 5 years ago when a couple dozen states nullified the so-called Real ID Act, mm-hmm. well, there was no massive attempt to deprive them of their federal funding or whatever. The federal government, to the contrary, simply backed, they're trying to rewrite the legislation, but they basically gave up, they left it on the books, but they gave up trying to enforce it. If nobody's going to go along with it, what else can they do?
Okay, I want to thank you. Oh, could you tell my listeners where they would go to buy your book, Nullification?
You can get it anywhere. Amazon's the cheapest, and I link to it on my own website, which has some resources you might enjoy looking at, and that's simply tomwoods.com.
Thank you so much, Tom, for your time.
My pleasure, Michelle.
Bye-bye.